Morning, church. Good morning to those of you on our online family today, those of you that are also in Paulden and Baghdad today. We are so grateful that we get to do this as a community. Welcome to those of you in the room. We're excited for what God's doing today. So some of you have been like, okay, so what's really happening? Where, what, when? You're going to find out by service kind of what is happening. But here's the heart of what's happening today with me being live in Prescott Valley, and what that looks like is that we just want them to know they're one of our five gatherings, and we want them to know that we love them and we see them, that they are a part of this, that they are a part of the whole, that just because they're in a different space and often through a different media, like, We're still together and we're still walking alongside each other. So that's what's happening today. However you're seeing this, whether it's in person, through a screen, whatever it happens to be, just know that we love you and welcome, and we're glad you're here. I had a conversation this week with a gentleman who's been mentoring me for a while. And as we were having this conversation, I get to kind of ask him things. He's led for much longer time than I have. He's much smarter than I am. He understands and has been through different things and all of that. And so I was just asking him, we're seeing something within our church that I've been around the church long enough to go, this is not normal. And what I mean is we are seeing the Holy Spirit move in ways that you can only attribute to the hand of the Holy Spirit. From people being drawn in a salvation way, like desperation way, a hunger way to, I need to meet this Jesus. Right, to attendance in youth. If you were to go to our youth on a Wednesday night or Thursday night in Prescott Valley, you would discover that God is up to something within our youth. There is a stirring happening, and it is very, very evident. If you were to go to our young adults on a Tuesday night, you would understand that there is a stirring that is happening within our young adults. If you attend our services on a weekend, you can sense the Holy Spirit is moving and working. If you were to hang around and listen to some of the answered prayers, you would go, that's not normal that you prayed and God answered like that, right? Like we wish it was like that all the time, but for whatever reason, there is a fresh pouring of the Spirit that is happening, that people are being healed, that people are coming into a relationship with Jesus in ways that are not common, that there's no strategies being done to try and build, but the Lord is building something. And so I'm sharing all this with him, and I go, hey, Larry, how do we steward this as a family and steward it well and not choke what the Holy Spirit's doing, but actually help it to erupt and continue and usher in? And he got this smile on his face as I was talking. And I'm like, what are you laughing about? And he goes, well, I have something called the Eagle's Nest. And it's a bunch of pastors from around the country. And then I personally mentored like 35 pastors. And they're from all over the country. And he goes, what you just said, he said, there are things that are unique to your community, but that is happening all over the country. And I think it's important to pause and recognize that God is on the move. The Holy Spirit is working in ways that across the board, people are going, God is up to something in our midst. And we need to not miss that. I understand that this, actually for our community, it's been 2 weeks. We've had tragedy. 32-year-old Cameron Mangarelli passed away in an accident. If you're connected to the Mangarelli family, extremely, extremely difficult. Leaves behind a young family. Was a man that loved the Lord, and that was in our community roughly two weeks ago. And then you have the events of this week with Charlie Kirk, another young man who loves Jesus and has had an amazing, amazing platform to be used. And that an assassination, right, that was murdered in a public space, that does something to you. That stirs something. We should just be really clear. Murder is evil. Okay, let's just put it where it belongs. It's the opposite of what God wants. And so we can stand pretty strongly and go, murder is evil. To see then a fellow believer murdered in a public square in such a way, it brings with it emotions. It brings with it. And we've got to be careful that we let God lead and our faith lead and not our emotions lead. That you follow what's happened over the last week, Colorado shootings in schools, right? You go to a subway and a senseless killing, and you don't have to go very far to begin to become unsettled, to begin to become distracted, if you like. I want to walk through something because I think it's important to catch when the Holy Spirit is moving in our midst to catch that. And last week, it could not have been clearer that God had changed my message leading into the weekend. And I want to just put up on screen, if we could just put up real quick, the list. So this was walking through the story of Exodus. This is what we declare God is from what we saw. That he is our lifeblood, that he is the holder of our very breath of life, that he gave the breath of life, that he is the creator of humans, that he is in control of this life and the afterlife, that he is our economic provision, that he's our healing and protection, that he's in control of nature, he's our food source, that he controls the light and the darkness. That he controls both, that we have been in rescue might not be the right word. I heard a better way to say that what he was doing with the people in Exodus is he was leading a deliverance, and that deliverance came by knockout. Why is this important? Because moments when, like we've been through in the last week, it can be really easy to become shaken. It can become really easy for emotions to overwhelm. But that God that we talked about last week that we saw in Exodus, the reason he wanted us to know him is for moments like this. That you would know that in the midst of someone's life being taken, Jesus was his lifeblood. And that changes all of eternity for Charlie. The appropriate response is grief. We can also celebrate because we know the God who saves. That when you look at this and you go, okay, the idea of the very breath of life, that only God can give it and only God can take it. These are moments where you have to choose to believe that. Or else you walk away going, somebody with a gun actually has control. He doesn't have control. Why? Because my God controls life and afterlife. That's who he is. And don't miss what God is doing. God has already prepared us for this moment because he's given us such a clear picture of who he is, that he controls the light and the darkness. And so I recognize you guys, like, I get it. My emotions have been all over the place this week. I probably had the full spectrum of, of the range, whatever that is. And yet I know for you, you walk in here and you may be grieving. This may be connected to you in ways that you just need to grieve. And I just need you to know that's okay. That you may be hurt. And that's okay. That you may feel some sense of anger, some sense of fear, some sense of lack of control, some sense of spinning. And I just want to encourage you that what we're going to do is we're going to take it to God in prayer. One of the things that we've been kind of moving in over the last months is that when we gather like this, this is not about some show. This is not about something to critique. This is not, the hope of this is that you actually interact with God for yourself. If you attend one of our gatherings in any location, that what you walk away with is you get a sense of God met with me today and the Holy Spirit did some work. That's the hope. That your relationship with Jesus is changing your life. And so here's what we're going to do. We're just going to stop and we're going to pray. And normally it would be whoever's up here is going to pray over you. I'm not going to pray. I'll pray to close so that you know we're done and moving on. But this is a moment for you to be real and honest and authentic before God. This is a moment for you to talk to God for yourself. That if your grief is over a young family, a mom, and young kiddos, and you see that and what's left behind and your heart is broken, tell God that. If it's over the anger, if it's over the emotion of what was lost, if it's whatever it happens to be, this is your moment to sit with Almighty God. We just sang about, right? Like, this is our God. This is your moment to go, God, I give this to you. I need you to work inside of this. I need you to take away whatever negative is here. I need this to not become a negative to my faith. I need you to meet me in my emotions, and he will. The Holy Spirit is called a comforter and an advocate. He's called a guide. And so here's what we're going to do. We're just going to go silent. Now, if you're here and you go, John, I'm new to church. I came to church because of this. Like, then, and you're like, I don't know how to pray. I don't know. I just want to encourage you. Just observe a moment of silence and see what God does. But for those of you that want to pray, these moments are yours. And then I'll pray to close this out. God, we are so thankful today that you are our God and we are not. That we get to rest in who you are. God, we are grateful today that you are not moved, you are not stirred. God, you are not somehow in a loss of control, but you're as sovereign today as you were yesterday. That we declared you in song to be king. You are king today and we surrender to you. God, we ask that in moments that we are going through as a nation, as individuals, as a community, God, we ask that you would continue to show us how you control the light and the darkness. God, that you would show us that you are the God who holds this life and the afterlife. Then whom shall we fear? And so, God, we place all of these prayers in your hands as they have risen up to your ears, God. We are grateful that you are a God that meets us, that hears us, that walks with us in the midst of this messy, messy life. And so we say thank you. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for delivering us from death to life. Thank you for Jesus and the way that you save us. We are grateful people. And everybody said, amen, amen. I love the nature of the Holy Spirit working. Because here's what often can happen, right? Like we get into a space like this, we get into a week like this, and it can become easy to make it about an agenda. It can become easy to make it about what we want to see happen. But I actually love that God just loves it when we're honest. God just loves it when we're like, here's where I am right now today. And that's where the Holy Spirit goes to work. I love that in the story of Scripture, in the story of what God has left us to know Him and understand Him, it's stories of real people that He walked alongside, that He journeyed alongside, and that had real problems at real times, that had real emotions, that were human like us. Have you ever been walking with God or known somebody that walks with God and in the midst of it you go, why is God leading them or me down the long road? You ever feel that? Like, this way is way harder. God, why are you doing this? Where are you leading us? And again, I find it fascinating and actually have a deep sense of comfort from when we go to the Bible, there are people in a similar spot. If you have been with us, you know we're in the story of Exodus, but I don't think it's by chance that we're talking today about God leading people and walking them out. And specifically, God goes, hey, I'm doing this in a way that you might not think. And so within that, Exodus chapter 12 and verse 31. So where we're at within the story is God has come and he's come to deliver his people from oppression and slavery, right? He's come to set his people free. And within that, he goes, okay, if you were here last week, there was 10 rounds where he went toe to toe with the Egyptian gods. And then he knocks them all out. He gets to the last one and he goes, hey, there's going to be death among the firstborn. Hey, Israel, if you will trust me and you'll obey me, here's what you'll do. You'll take blood of a lamb, a specific lamb, and you'll put it on your doorpost. And if I see the blood on your house, I'll pass over. But any house I don't find it, the firstborn is going to die, the firstborn son. And so the Egyptians, there's loud wailing. The Israelites, they recognize the rescue that's happened of their family. And so now, in verse 31, you get, during the night, Pharaoh summoned Moses and Aaron and said, up, leave my people, you and the Israelites, go worship the Lord as you have requested. Take your flocks and your herds as you have said, and go and also bless me. The Egyptians urged the people to leave the country, for otherwise, they said, we will all die. So the people took their dough before the yeast was added and carried it on the shoulders and kneading troughs wrapped in clothing. The Israelites did as Moses instructed and asked the Egyptians for articles of silver and gold and for clothing. The Lord made the Egyptians favorably disposed towards the people and gave them whatever they asked for. So they plundered the Egyptians. Okay, so now Pharaoh comes, he goes, hey, you got to go, but I want you to catch. They were blessed by the Egyptians. So God delivers them, but also blesses them by, he gives them all of this silver, all of this clothing, all of this gold, and they now, whatever they ask for, they head out. Verse 37, the Israelites journeyed from Ramses to Succoth. There were about 600,000 men on foot, besides women and children. Many other people went up with them, and also large droves of livestock, both flocks and herds. With the dough the Israelites had brought from Egypt, they baked loaves of unleavened bread, the dough without yeast because they had been driven out of Egypt and did not have time to prepare food for themselves. Now, verse 40, now the length of time the Israelite people lived in Egypt was 430 years. At the end of the 430 years to the very day, all the Lord's divisions left Egypt. Okay. Context is important for understanding the next part of the story. So you have God come and he rescues them. He delivers them. And now they are given a whole bunch of stuff. And so you've just got this large, we don't need to get into figuring out how many and all of that this weekend. Like there's just a large gathering of people. And roughly they go to this area called Sukkoth. Now, what's important about that is they lived in Goshen. That was the territory they were in as slaves. Guess where Sukkoth is? In Goshen. So why does that matter? Because God literally walks them to the edge of the area they've been living in the whole time. It's roughly about 35 kilometers, which to give you a bearing of how far that is, it's roughly from here to Cordis Junction, right? And that's how far they travel on this first leg of the journey. Now, if you were to do it alone, they claim that if you walk like my wife, you could do it in 8 hours. If you walk like me, it's going to take you a little longer. But it's a day journey, maybe. For them, with this many people, it's believed that it would at least have been 2 to 3 days traveling day and night. Now, I'm not real good at like military figuring out like the best strategies and whatever, but if you have the strongest empire that has ever been known in that time with the most technologically advanced weapons at their disposal, and you are running away, running to your territory for 2 to 3 days. And let's be honest, like, let's just humanize this story. Normally, if you got little kids and you're on this journey, those little kids ain't walking. You're carrying them, and you're also carrying all of the stuff that you got. This is not an easy journey. And wait a minute, God, you let us where? To the edge of our own region? That seems like real reachable distance for the army that has the most weaponry that we see. If you turn over a page, or at least I have to turn over a page, chapter 13, verse 17 says this, when Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them on the road through the Philistine country, though it was shorter. Okay. Anybody ever made any trip in your life? I hope so. Anybody ever used maps, the map app, right? And we can argue all day, Google or Apple, which one's better and all that stuff, right? Like, but you take out your map and mine gives me the first option. And there's normally a little tag to it and it says fastest, right? And then it gives me two others. Does anybody actually look at the others? Like, is it they even exist, right? Like you start to go, okay, if I don't want to go by tolls, I can turn that off, right? Like, just make sure all of that's out of the way. But here's what's interesting. You look at it, and 9 times out of 10, if not 10 out of 10 for me, I am choosing the fastest on a journey, the fastest route from here to there. Like, we are just going to get this done. Minimal stops along the way, all of that good stuff, right? You're like, I never want a road trip with you. You don't want a road trip with me. Let's not do it. But as people, we like to go fast, right? We don't like to waste our time. God leads them intentionally on the long road. God intentionally doesn't take them through Philistine. There was a road that was actually well groomed, well used, well traveled. It was a coastal road. Doesn't that sound nice? Like a coastal road that actually went through the heart of the Philistine country. Like, that road was already there. God's taking them on a road that is minimal at best. It's long. It's more difficult. It's not the route that we would choose. And maybe just today, where we sit, it's really important to see that God chose the road. God chose the road. And the reason it's important to see is because so many times we want to be in control of the map app, and we're not. The God that we just displayed in words on a screen that we learned about through the battles of last week, that God is in control of the road your life is on. You may think you have control, but don't kid yourself. God has control of the map. What you have is you have a choice. just like the Israelites, right? So the Israelites have been delivered. They are now free people. They've been in slavery for at least 250 years, if not 430 years, depending on how you interpret it. And they are now free people. They have choice. It would have been really easy to get the leaders of the divisions together and go, you know what? This idea of going to Sukkoth, this sounds really bad. Let's go there instead. That road sounds way nicer. I mean, can you humanize within the story how many times when God is going, hey, I am leading you this way. And I'm like, actually, God, that road looks like, wait, it's a lot nicer. Can we just not take that one? You see, but there's an important part to freedom. Freedom gives you a choice. It gives me a choice of who and what I trust. And it gives me a choice of if I'll obey. I'll be honest with you, I don't like the word obey. Never have my whole life. I've got an aversion to it. But that's what this comes down to, right? Am I going to trust God on the road that he has me on? Am I going to choose to obey him? In Proverbs, we were in teaching prep this week and Pastor Ben connected this verse. But in Proverbs 16:9, it says, in their hearts, humans plan their course, but the Lord establishes their steps. In our hearts, right? We got our plans. We know which way is faster. But it's actually the Lord that establishes the steps. Are you okay with the steps that the Lord is establishing for you? Maybe in light of just the weekend that it is, are you okay with the steps and where we are as a nation? Right? Like, are we okay with that? Because we could end up really quick, you guys, fighting the wrong battle. That's one of my biggest concerns, if I'm really, really honest with you. That's one of my biggest concerns. We fight the wrong battle in this whole thing. But Ephesians tells us we don't fight flesh and blood. Right? Like Ephesians tells us that as followers of Jesus, we're involved in a spiritual fight. And can we just like bring it down to our streets instead of living way out trying to control everything? Can we bring it to our streets in our neighborhood? Does your neighbor, does your coworker, does the person you spend the most time with know and love Jesus? Then if not, you got work to do. That's the mission we're on. Eternity is at stake. And we were left as plan A. And so we have a choice of how we step into that. That's the road that God has us on. What is my response? To trust and obey what God has called us to. When he rescued me in Jesus, what has he called me to? Will I go do that? Or am I distracted by everything else around me, right? Carries on in that same verse. Chapter 13, verse 17. When Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them on the road through the Philistine country, though that was shorter. Listen to this. For God said, if they face war, they might change their minds and return to Egypt. So God led the people around by the desert road toward the Red Sea, which was the longer way to go and a dead end. The Israelites went up out of Egypt ready for battle. Did you catch what just happened? Right? Like the Israelites, they're delivered. They go out. They're like, we're ready to fight. And God knows what they're ready for. God knows what they can handle. God goes, if they go to war, if they face war, they're going to go, hey, we want to go back to slavery and oppression. We want to go back to having taskmasters. Why? Because they at least would protect us. That wording in here, if they face war, they might change their mind. Hold on to that one. You know why? Because that's the big church word we use, repentance. Do you know there is a positive repentance and a negative repentance? Why? Because repentance simply means that I change my mind that leads to a change of action. What was the catalyst for their change of mind? If they face war, they're going to give up on what God wants. They're going to repent of following God, and they are going to go and follow and go back to where it is safe and go back to the Egyptians and put themselves under slavery and oppression. Why? Because to change your mind will lead you to a change of action. And God knows this. That when you step out to trust and obey, what's going to happen? That there are going to be forces that come against you that are going to what? Want you to change your mind on what? On who God is. On all the things we talked about. There's going to be forces on you that want you to walk away from what God has for you. Change your mind that will lead to a change of action. Can we just be real? Quit playing church. I'm tired of church. I'll be honest with you. What's it going to take for you to have a negative repentance? What do I mean? What's going to happen in your world that you go, I'm done with you, God. I give up on you. I give up on your road. It's too long. It's too, and don't give me the church shake your head. Oh, that could never happen to me. I don't believe it. You know why? Because you're human. Is it work stress? Can I be real honest? This week has not been good for me. I've been so stressed, you guys. If you were in my house, you would be like, you are so grumpy. And you'd be right. I've had 4 out of character reactions that I've had to go and apologize to those people for, some of those being my kids this week. But you know where the stress is? It's not what's happening in my home. It's not what's happening in my life. It's what's happening outside. When Charlie Kirk is assassinated in a public space and the reaction is such that I know that as a church family, we have to walk through it. And I'm just going to be real honest with you. Maybe it's connected to COVID. I don't know. But I know this weekend, I am not going to say enough for some people and I will say too much for others. I just know it. And to try and navigate with wisdom and shepherd this moment. You know what's interesting? The word lead in this where God leads us in this passage is the same as Psalm 23 that he leads us beside still waters. It's the leading of a shepherd. And so for me, this is just real. This week sitting, there are moments, I could take you back to them, where I have gone, there has to be an easier way to make a living than this. Like I've had moments where I've gone, how far can I get with the tank of gas that I have away from here? How do I just run away? How do I just jettison it all? And yet God has to bring me back and go, John, the road I have you on is the road I have you on. Will you trust and obey me? Will you trust me? Even if it's hard, even if you don't like it, even if it's not what you planned, will you trust and obey here? Will you confess? Will you confess? Will you confess? What is wanting to change your mind? What is wanting to lead you to negative repentance? What is wanting you to leave? Will you just confess it? And so for me, it's been a week of confession. It's being honest. Lord, I don't want to do this. I want to run away. I'm tired of this. They're going to be mad. This person, and you know what the Lord's done? John, I led you like a shepherd on this road. Trust and obey me. I wonder what it is for you, right? Like, Maybe it's the same. Maybe it's work stress, and your choice of how this works and where you're going to go is you're going to go and back to the same old things you've been at. You're going to numb your way out of your work stress. I wonder if it's your marriage relationship. I wonder if your marriage is at a point where you know God has you on the long road with your marriage, but you are at a point where you're like, I'm ready to just be done with what God wants, and I'm ready to go over here. I'm ready to trade in and trade up. The problem is you go too, and you are the problem. Right? Like let's just get real with it. Some of you are in relationships that you have no business being in. But if you were really honest with God, you're like, God, the road you have me on, I'm lonely. And so you keep putting yourself into these relationships, or maybe the same one, and you keep going back to it because you're choosing to not trust and obey the hard road of loneliness that God has you on right now. We're not minimizing that. I'm not minimizing that it's been hard this week. But will you confess it to him? God, I'm tired of being lonely. It hurts. Everybody else seems to have these great relationships around me. But the last thing that God wants for you is to go back and put up with a bad relationship and continue to put yourself in the space that is. Some of you, it's unanswered prayer. God hasn't answered your prayers, and you're like, I'm ready to jettison this thing. God, if you were God and you were good, then you build the whole thing. Some of you, it's because one bullet killed one man and everything is shaking. God is not shaken, right? But we are shaking. And so what happens is we begin to feel like things are out of control, and we see both sides of it, and we hear these come, and we're ready to walk away from where God has you. You just need to know you need to trust and obey. And you just need to keep stepping forward and confess. Why? And I know I'm over time. We're going to go there anyways. Chapter 14, if you follow it through, and you can read it on your own time from where we were to chapter 14, it talks about, it kind of gives this impression that the Israelites began to walk in circles. Chapter 14, verse 3 says this, Pharaoh will think. So when they're walking in circles, Pharaoh will think the Israelites are wandering around the land in confusion, hemmed in by the desert, and I will harden Pharaoh's heart and he will pursue them. Listen to this. But I will gain glory for myself through Pharaoh and all his armies, and the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord. So the Israelites did this. You just need to know today that if you feel like you're on the hard road and it's a season of you just keep pressing in and it feels like you're going in circles. God, we've been here before. I swear I've seen that signpost before. And you feel like you're going to, you just need to know there's a purpose to the circles. There was a purpose to them going in circles in Egypt. What was that purpose? That God would be more famous than they are. That God's glory would be seen and not theirs. That he would be known. What is the purpose of your life and what you are going through and where you are walking right now and the struggles that you have and the road that is hard? What is the purpose? That God would be known through you. That you have a holy calling on this earth. I think one of the most things that stood out this week is that Charlie chose to use his voice. But you realize that God's given you the exact same voice for his kingdom. That's not unique to him. And you just need to understand that when you say yes to the hard road and you trust God and you confess what wants to pull you aside and you continue on the road, that he will be glorified through your life. He'll be seen. And that is the purpose of everything. That God Almighty would be seen as the King on a throne that he is. That no matter what happens down here, we're not shaken because we know the God that doesn't shake. And we stand in confidence. But in the moment, it's difficult. It's difficult. And so, church, don't you quit. You continue to trust and you continue to obey. When you feel like jettisoning, when you feel like, man, I got to get, you confess it to God. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is present just as he is here in your every moment of every day. And he wants to walk. When you feel scared, he wants to walk and you give it to him. I feel scared and I want to run. And watch him empower you to stay. Why? Because he's a God worth putting on display. Would you pray with me? God, we are so humbled by your goodness. We're so humbled by who you are. We're so thankful that you meet us here. We're so thankful that we can, God, bring to you even the most confusing moments of life, the hardest moments, the parts that make us want to leave, the parts that make us want to move. God, you are inside of those and you are working. And so we trust you're working today. We trust what you are doing today. God, as we declare with our voice that you're a way maker, that means that when things seem like it's just darkness or things seem so confused that you are the one or impossible, God, you are the one that our faith is in to do the impossible, that you are the one who makes a way when there is no way. You are the miracle worker. You break chains. Would you break chains today? Would you set us free? Would you keep us free even on the road that is hard and long? And so God, we again say thank you for Jesus who changes everything. Thank you for dying for us. Thank you for paying the penalty of our sin and thank you for rescuing us. Thank you for loving us first. And everybody said, amen.